Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Taxation: The People's Business is a nonfiction work by Andrew W. Mellon, originally published in 1924, that presents his views on public finance and tax policy during the early 20th century. Mellon was then serving as U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, and the book reflects the thinking behind the fiscal program associated with the Harding and Coolidge administrations. It argues that taxation should be understood not as a narrow technical matter, but as a central public question affecting investment, enterprise, employment, government revenue, and the wider economy. The book belongs to the tradition of economic and political argument rather than academic theory, and it is closely tied to Mellon's broader case for reducing excessive tax rates, lowering unnecessary burdens on capital, and restoring incentives for productive activity. Its value today lies in showing how a major policymaker connected tax structure to human behavior, risk-taking, and long-term growth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, tax policy as a question of human incentives. A core idea in the book is that tax systems cannot be evaluated only by the revenue they collect. Mellon treats taxation as a framework that shapes behavior, especially the willingness of individuals and businesses to invest, expand, and take risks. This makes human nature central to his reasoning. If marginal tax rates are too high, people may delay productive activity or choose safer, less ambitious uses of capital. In Mellon's view, the state does not simply passively receive revenue from economic activity, it also influences the amount of activity that occurs in the first place. That argument gives the book its distinctive practical orientation. Rather than discussing taxes as an abstract fiscal mechanism, Mellon links them to entrepreneurship, capital formation, and the real choices made by investors. This approach helps explain why the book became associated with supply-side and pro-growth tax thinking long before that terminology existed. Secondly, the case for reducing high wartime tax rates. The book must be read against the backdrop of the steep tax burdens that followed World War I. Mellon argues that those elevated rates were no longer suited to peacetime conditions and that they discouraged the very economic expansion needed for recovery. His position is not simply that lower taxes are preferable in principle, but that excessively high rates can become self-defeating by shrinking the base of taxable activity. A lower rate, in his framework, may yield stronger long-run revenue because it encourages more transactions, more investment, and more taxable income. This is an important distinction because it shows that Mellon was not presenting tax cuts as mere political preference. He was making an economic argument about incentives and the behavior of capital. The book, therefore, serves as a defense of rate reduction as a strategy for rebuilding confidence and restoring normal commercial activity after a period of emergency fiscal policy. Thirdly, how taxation affects investment, risk, and business formation. One of the book's most concrete concerns is the relationship between tax policy and private investment decisions. Mellon emphasizes that starting a business, building a plant, or launching a new venture involves uncertainty, and taxation changes the calculation of whether that risk is worthwhile. If the government claims a large share of potential gains while leaving losses largely with the investor, the expected reward may become too small to justify the effort. The practical effect, in Mellon's analysis, is less experimentation, fewer new enterprises, and slower capital accumulation. This argument extends beyond large corporations to the broader structure of economic development, because new investment is what creates jobs, expands output, and strengthens future tax capacity. The book is notable for treating risk not as a side issue, but as a central feature of tax policy. Mellon's emphasis on capital formation places the work firmly in the history of growth-oriented fiscal thought. Fourthly, tax reduction as a tool for broader economic recovery. Mellon connects taxation to overall economic health rather than to the narrow interests of taxpayers at the top of the income scale. He argues that when business slows and unemployment rises, the burden eventually falls most heavily on ordinary people, especially those with modest incomes. That makes tax reform a macroeconomic issue, not simply a dispute over who pays what share. In his view, lower rates can help revive business confidence, stimulate production, and improve employment conditions, which in turn benefits government revenue and public welfare. This is a significant part of the book's logic because it presents tax policy as intertwined with recovery, not isolated from it. The idea also helps explain why Mellon's work was influential in debates over the early 1920s adjustment to peacetime conditions. He presents tax relief as compatible with, and even necessary for, both fiscal stability and social improvement. Lastly, A Treasury Secretary's Blueprint for Pro-Growth Fiscal Governance. Taxation, the People's Business, is also important as a policy statement from a major public official rather than a detached academic observer. Mellon wrote from the standpoint of someone directly responsible for federal revenue, spending pressures, and the management of national finances. That gives the book a strong institutional perspective. It is concerned not only with economic theory, but with the practical problem of governing a modern state. Mellon's approach links lower taxes with controlled spending, debt reduction, and a more disciplined fiscal order. This broader program distinguishes the book from works that treat tax policy as a single-issue question. It shows how one influential Treasury leader understood taxation as part of a larger system of public administration. Readers interested in the history of American fiscal policy can use the book to see how early 20th century conservative economics was articulated in real time, before later debates over growth, incentives, and government size became more familiar. In conclusion, Taxation: The People's Business is best suited for readers interested in the history of American fiscal policy, the intellectual roots of pro-growth tax arguments, and the practical reasoning of a high-level policymaker. It is especially useful for students of economics, political history, public finance, and early 20th century government reform. The book offers a concise but influential defense of lower marginal tax rates, with a focus on incentives, investment behavior, and the long-run consequences of excessive taxation. Its strength is not in technical modeling, but in the clarity of its policy logic and its direct connection to the Treasury experience of Andrew W. Mellon. Compared with more modern tax books, it stands out because it reflects the viewpoint of a central decision maker during a pivotal period of post-war adjustment. Readers do not just encounter an argument for tax reduction. They see how that argument was framed as part of a broader effort to restore confidence, encourage enterprise, and stabilize public finances. That makes the book historically important even when some of its premises are debated today. If you would like to support Andrew W. Mellon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.